blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. And in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself in the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabha. Again and again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face a new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
Yes, absolutely. One of the things I'm looking at is acceptance. Mm-hmm. And it's just come to my attention that I have a daughter. Mm-hmm. And it just came to my attention that there's a whole lot that I do not accept. Mm-hmm. With her, and then mm-hmm. I looked back and saw, oh my goodness, you know, the projection in that, and there being a whole lot that I have been unwilling to accept about myself.
Uh-huh. So suddenly realizing that with your daughter, there are things that you don't accept, and then following the projection back, yeah, and realizing those are things you don't accept about yourself.
Yeah. And I just saw myself repeating just this, the same karmic pattern I had with my own mom. Mm-hmm. And I just always felt, I didn't feel like we had a very good relationship, you know. And, mm-hmm. and it just always felt like she didn't accept, you know, who I was, and that that she needed me to be different in some way in order to be happy.
In order for her
to be happy.
Uh-huh. She needed you to be different in yeah. some way in order for her to be happy.
Yeah, and I just could never deliver.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
And, boy. And I just saw the whole thing playing out with my daughter. Mm-hmm. You know?
That same dynamic
that
of
same
needing her to be a certain way so that you can be a certain way.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole time thinking, well, I'm glad I'm not like my mom. You know, and
yeah, because perhaps the content is slightly different, or the way it shows up
yeah.
is slightly different, so it can hide from us for a long time.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. yeah. I just thought like, I'm way different than my mom.
Uh-huh.
You know,
right.
And that, you know, I spend time with my daughter, and I'm really interested. Yeah. But then I saw that, you know, it's just like, boy, if she would just like get a better job, uh-huh. and if she would just, you know, stop wanting me to be different. You know, if there's just some things that she could do, well, then we'd all be,
right.
you know, everything would just be smooth, sailing.
Which, you know, we can all relate to it. If only you would be just slightly different, then I would be able to be the way I want to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And boy, what a boatload of suffering is in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because there's just no way
yeah.
that...
Yes.
That I have any control or power
yes.
to change
yes.
that circumstance.
Yes, exactly. And we can guess, you know, this came through when you were talking about it with your own mother too, that on a karmic level, it's not meant to change. It's being kept in place, wanting her to be different. You know, even if she were suddenly magically different, all those ways that supposedly I want her to be, it would morph to something else.
Right.
Well, but now if we could just.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't looked at that, but that's true. Mm-hmm. It would just continue to manifest with different content.
Yes.
That same karma would just keep.
Yes, as conditioning always does. Yeah. It always feels like, especially before we start practicing, that it's about the what's in life, just rearranging those. Mm-hmm. And yet not realizing that, you know, occasionally they line up the way they're supposed to line up. Well, but then the process just switches over to something else. Well, but, you know, the dissatisfaction finds another target.
So, in unraveling that karmic predisposition is an interesting journey.
And I'm
not even at all sure how to begin. And it feels in a way, I can feel some softening that needs to happen with the heart. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's just this, something that goes on, just trying to protect our, I don't know what it is, but just somehow my heart has to shut down in order to be in that karmic trap. You're not okay the way you are, and both for myself and actually other people. Mm-hmm. I mean, just looking at that and living a life of service too. You know, it's like I can see that where I want to be is in that place of acceptance for whatever presents itself. Mm-hmm. You know. So I'm just in the question.
Yeah, and would you say that in that seeing that there's a softening that needs to happen, that is the softening?
Yeah, it feels like it.
Yeah, it's like you go to that place, don't you, in order to see that.
Yeah.
And what's so interesting is that there's nowhere to go, right, because you're there.
Yeah.
So it's just practicing staying there.
It's so true. You know, conditioning would make it into this big life plan.
Yeah.
You know, okay, so now this week we're going to work on acceptance, and this is what you have to do.
And it's really hard because the heart is so hardened to all these things, and I'm going to have to really...
Yeah.
But just going back to that, seeing the possibility, there, I'm right there. Nothing had to happen.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, I can feel that shift. The heart's open.
Yeah.
There's acceptance.
Yeah.
There's just love.
Yeah.
You know, and then that other, really hard place. That's not okay.
Yeah.
Gotta change.
Yeah. And so the miracle of seeing it, and then what carries us forward is just, okay, just being willing to be aware of, because you'll undoubtedly watch yourself move between those two places. And if that can be okay, to just watch yourself move between those two places, then you just start to gather a lot of information about that. And you get better and better at learning to be in the place you want to be, in that soft heart place.
Yeah, that's so true. It makes it a very interesting experience to watch that shift and movement. And, you know, what it feels like to be in that heart place, what it feels like to be in that. Feels messy to be in the heart place.
messy,
you know. And the person that wants to just like look good, it's like no, I don't want, you know.
That's a fun kind of sorting out who's who, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because all the folks who you want to embrace in compassion will, you know, if they find out it's okay, then they're going to be willing to be messy and whatever. Yeah.
Who cares?
They're going to be in that soft heart place.
Yeah.
And folks who only want to look good and that's all they want, well, then, you know, great. You go and look good. I'm going to be here in the soft part.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And, yeah, and it just brings me back again to that, you know, that I just thought that was so beautiful when I heard, you know, I think it's Sherry saying something about that's that if you spend your whole life just embracing and compassion, all those parts that just need acceptance, I mean,
what better life?
Better way to spend a life.
Yeah.
So.
And the service of that.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually just looking at that for myself in this, you know, looking at kind of captaining the service work and in practice and all that, and how, you know, in a way that word service is so funny because it's service. You're living a life of service in being here at the monastery and quote serving, and it's the exact same process of serving inside.
Yeah.
Of being willing to be there for all the parts of you.
Yeah, so it's just like what you were saying earlier, that that conditioning to make service just this huge thing, this big deal. You know. And it's that, you know, just being in that hard place.
Just being in that hard place.
In that soft place and being of service to all the parts of myself.
We could say being of service to life. Mm-hmm. And because when we're here, we are, life is living the life. Life is living us. Life is leading the life.
So,
thank you.
It's really interesting. I think maybe that's basic parent-child karma, that thing of, because I've always projected that also, you know, you need me to be something for you that's not me.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, it's hard to know what's going on, like, with my parents, but that definitely is what conditioning is doing to me.
Yeah.
You know, it needs me to be in this other place than center, believing in right and wrong, good and bad, and all this kind of stuff. Some other place than center.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, believing it's a dualistic, self-hating reality.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, and it completely influences, you know, my how I see myself and how I see the world and everything, that basic relationship.
Mm-hmm. Staying in that basic relationship where conditioning needs you to be a certain way, essentially, so it can have your life. And when you're in that relationship, when you're believing in that relationship, it colors everything.
It does, yeah, and it remains. I really, it's interesting that Sequoia started off that way, because I've really been seeing that for myself in relationship to just the circumstances that have been happening right here. And,
mm-hmm.
And there remains a really deep belief in that relationship, and that you know, I'm not okay the way I am.
Mm-hmm.
I don't measure up. I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all this supposed evidence for it that happens all the time, which is not evidence for it.
Yeah.
It's just stuff that's happening.
Yeah.
That's getting interpreted through the filter of that relationship. That's all that's going on. But the willingness to believe in that is, I've been very surprised. I mean, I've always known that since doing practice that it's there, but I just, quite recently, I've been very surprised by how deep it is and how much it's still there.
Uh-huh. And if I asked, how do you know it? Like, what, you know, so you say that relationship is still so deep. How do you see that? How do you?
Well, I just see the karma operating.
Uh-huh.
I see the it depends on kind of where I am, but I'm either seeing it or believing it, of course. But mostly, actually, these days, seeing it rather than believing it.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing it acting out. So there's the, you know, so something will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the things is my brain won't do what I want it to do. You know, I watch other people's brains doing things, like putting things together and stuff, and I, it's kind of funny, it's like, okay, brain.
Let's do it.
There's things happening here, put them together, and it just won't. I'm kind of joking about that. I don't even think it would if I wasn't doing that whole process with it.
Right.
It just won't.
Right.
And so that's interpreted, so the, you know, there's that relationship. So conditioning wants me to believe that I am, you know, because how I am is just okay. Exactly. How could it be otherwise?
Right.
But conditioning wants me to believe in this dualistic world where I either could be okay or not be okay.
Yeah.
And then that, the fact that somebody else can do something with their brain that I, at least at this point, am having a lot of trouble doing with mine, makes that seems to provide evidence for that the reality of that, of the information that's in that dynamic.
Yeah. You know what's so ironic or insidious or something is that in theory, what, at least in my experience, what it wants me to believe is what I need to do is put the, have my brain work in that way. But of course, from what you started out saying, what it needs for me to do is to believe there's something wrong with me.
Right.
So it doesn't really, in fact, it's actually quite handy that my brain won't do that thing that...
In a certain way it is.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because then it can, I mean, it can use that information against me.
Oh, I see what you're saying. It's handy for it.
It's handy for it.
I see.
Yeah. So, and then it tries to talk me into the reality of like, well, if I could just get my brain to work that way, then... Mm-hmm. But it's like a perfect system for it because... It keeps me in, me trying to be a way different than I just am, different than life is just manifesting in this form.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm in that relationship of believing there's something wrong with me, which is how it needs me to be. That's mm-hmm. how it has the life.
Yeah, it's really true. It's also handy another way. I thought that's what you, thought this is what you meant at first.
Well, yeah.
You know, what I'm, you know where I'm going.
But
that it's kind of handy that it won't do what I want it to do.
Yeah.
Because then I have, I'm stuck. It's kind of like what we start off with. I'm stuck with this kind of, it's not even this person really, it's just this form. It's just like a bundle of characteristics, one of which is the patterns that the brain does.
Yeah.
And the need to understand that that is as it is, and in that is absolutely, it's not even okay, because that implies that there's such a thing as not okay. It's just as it is, and that's kind of good in a way that's not dualistic.
Yes, yeah. It's critical, almost, that we come up against those places. And it's what the monastic environment is designed for, is to put each of us in the place where we, quote, can't do the thing that conditioning says we have to be able to do in order to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the place where then we're up against seeing, no, it has nothing to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're always, quote, succeeding, then there's never what's going to have us turn and look through that incredible habit to give the life to it. You know, because it's painful. There are difficult things that happen in that process, and so it usually takes something like that to have us go against it.
That's really painful. And yeah, I think that's good. And of course, I don't have an external child, but I'm in charge. So I think that's what you're saying. I'm in charge of this guy Dave and his life experience.
Mm-hmm.
And needing to really kind of be a loving parent for him, and we always talk about this, but just going around this morning, having a softness around the whole thing, and enjoying the different little aspects of. This bundle of characteristics that I'm here with. And I mean, it's not even, I'm trying not to go to all the good things that he has and can do, even though there are good things that he has and can do, but that's not the point, really.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of the point, because I want him to understand that those are really good things, and that's a way that he can make a contribution also.
Yeah.
He can't make a contribution in the way he wants to be everything.
Yep.
Or a that relationship wants him to be everything.
Yeah.
He wants him to have everything that everybody has and be able to do it all at the same time.
Yeah.
But he can't.
Yeah.
But he can do what it's like he's got a special little spot that's just his, and he's the only one that can fill it.
Yes.
And that relationship wants to take that away from him. But without that relationship, then he can just fill it.
Yeah.
And there are no standards about that and shoulds and nobody's going to remember it, most likely, and you know. So it's just, but it's kind of a beautiful thing all by itself.
Yes, yeah. Someone told me a quote recently that was, I loved it. Very simple, something like, "Be yourself. Everybody else is taken."
That's good.
And I just love that. And, you know, in that, I was appreciating when you were talking about that place of trying not, you know, not also not going to the other side of like, oh, you know, you're good at this and you're good at that. And I just pictured, you know, a little kid who wants mom or dad to recognize their successes, but not have a sense of like, so keep it up.
Mm-hmm. That's important.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
exactly.
Important for you to feel okay about yourself and for me to love you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Way to go, champ. You know, get another soccer goal or whatever it is. But just celebrating that success without it meaning anything about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fascinating. I feel like there's a lot of lenses through which you can look at your life and kind of make, you know, draw conclusions. But one of them is what we're talking about, because you know, I started off with a karma that said I'm good at everything, basically. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of evidence to support that, because I was very careful to put myself in situations where I would only get that feedback and avoid anything that wouldn't.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you meant about the monastic environment a little while ago, because that's not considered when we're kind of put in these different positions.
Yeah.
And so it feels like my monastic experience has been a stripping away and a stripping away of that identity and the need to believe that about myself. It's really kind of what I project my parents did to me, which I don't really know if they did or not, actually, but just stripping it away. I kind of keep running into these places that feel like failure.
Yeah.
But really what that is just another chunk of that has just gotten, a chunk of that karma has been, you know, kind of pulled off by itself, where it's just flailing around. It can't be fulfilled, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And the miracle of being able to make the choice to put yourself in an environment like this when the karma is to not do that.
Mm-hmm.
The karma is, it sounds like from what you're describing, just to put yourself in a place where you'll only be reflected as successful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that's interesting, because one of the things I was thinking this morning is, I think my main contribution, who knows, but my main contribution is just to show up and not quit.
Mm-hmm.
And that may, you know, like, and I was thinking about this morning as being a monk.
Yeah.
And my main is not to like accomplish these certain things or anything like that, but just to show up and not quit and follow the form that's been offered.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, well, other people can do the fancy stuff with their brains. maybe there'll be something my brain will do that will be helpful. But,
and maybe that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't know. You know, I love that place. We don't have the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. Maybe this contribution is to show up and not quit. And, you know, maybe that's the most gigantic thing. I mean, we just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
Yeah, it's certainly or it feels pretty certainly that's what I can give to this person, anyway. Don't know about anything else.
Yeah.
But that seems pretty clear to show up in this life that I have and not quit.
Yeah.
Seems like what everything in here needs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And boy, the evidence is strong that for each of us, giving this being, the being that we have, what it needs, is the thing we're giving to life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It almost has to be.
Mm-hmm.
If it's true, that it's all one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Thank you. Cameron.
Yeah, I kind of lost where I was wanting to start in earlier, so I'll see if I can...
Start where you are now?
Start where I am now, yeah. That something really interesting happened during that last chair. I was kind of, there was a point at which it arose for me a sign that I saw in town recently, which was, be yourself, everybody else is taken.
Mm-hmm.
And just as that was arising for me, you said it. And I thought, wow, here we are again, one mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it happens on Sunday morning so much, it feels like, that we're either all looking at something very similar or the same things come up, and it's just kind of fascinating. That, I mean, it was just arising, and just like it was arising, and if I were to speak, it would have come out at the same time you said it. It's like, it was arising for me, and it came out of your mouth, and it was like, whoa. Rats, I wanted to say that.
Well, that's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so, yeah, there's both things in that. There's,
yeah.
For me, there's that place of really realizing, wow, this is truly not personal.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just life moving through form.
Yeah.
And then to watch egocentric karma conditioning attached to it. And
exactly.
Watch how, like, my gosh, that's what's happening all the time.
Yeah.
Life moving through, yanking it. Life
yeah,
moving
yeah.
through, yanking
yeah.
it.
Wanting to have it, yeah. And, yeah. So I've been looking for several years now at and practicing with trust.
Mm-hmm.
And how that manifests and how it doesn't manifest and what the results of it are and all of that. And it's been a huge, 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 wonderful practice for me that has created a lot of really important change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was going to talk about. But it's sort of not, it's sort of it arose out of the first year. But I think what happens is that trust is really required to end suffering,
mm-hmm.
because if I'm not trusting that life and what's in my life that I have chosen to be in my life, if I'm not trusting that as a manifestation of the goodness of the universe,
mm-hmm.
then I'm not able to take the step into the abyss that seems really required in order to practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, practicing requires me to let go of what I believe is so,
mm-hmm.
because it's conditioned and it's really not so.
Right.
But to let go of it, it's a kind of it creates fear,
yes.
which is the opposite of trust.
Mm-hmm.
Because that seems like truth,
mm-hmm.
but if I trust, I have to just step,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know where I'm stepping. It's
right.
like this big hole into, you know.
Yeah.
And if I'm trusting, it doesn't matter what's there.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Yeah.
And it's all leading
yeah.
to, and it all is not even mm-hmm. leading. That's sort mm-hmm. of the dual thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all what needs to.
Yeah.
Be because it is
mm-hmm.
like that,
mm-hmm.
and so. But if I pull back in that fear and mm-hmm. don't take that step,
yeah.
then I'm not actually trusting the love and the goodness
yeah.
and the intelligence and the wisdom
yeah.
that is life, because that yeah. that hole, or what appears to be a hole,
right.
is what life is presenting.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Kind of like the. What is that movie where you step out and there's no step?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I don't know if this is so, but what I saw when you were saying that was, it's similar to what we started out with Sequoia in the soft heart place where, so, you know, there's all the stuff that we habitually believe,
mm-hmm.
and then we begin to practice, and on some level we realize, must not be true.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it feels true, but it must not. Everyone keeps saying it's not true. It must not be true.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that place of stepping out, and as you said, I can't see what's there, so it takes trust to do it, that it feels like on some level we must have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Or we wouldn't know to step out.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't see it is I can't, in the way that I'm used to thinking, exactly, I can't see it. In the way that I'm used to thinking about things
yeah.
and understanding things, this is not in that realm.
Yeah.
And so what we're learning to do, it's just like the soft heart place. Like we,
exactly.
I feel that, I experience that soft heart place. And then, well, but it's so hard to get there. And well, no, actually, it isn't, I'm right there. In
yeah,
that moment.
Yeah, yeah.
It's that same, just stepping out.
Exactly.
Into what?
Yeah. And in seeing that as a system, where, you know, ego's place is here in the beliefs,
mm-hmm.
the fear that arises when it's time to take that step,
mm-hmm.
even though I'm, you know, working on trust and I'm seeing that, you know, life is good and it wants the best for me and I'm not even, it's not, there's not even a me, I'm just the goodness, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That fear that arises is the I yanking back the chain, you won't go there because you know, you go there and I lose my dinner. Right. I lose my sustenance for me.
Yes.
And so the finally getting how, you know, how what's said a lot is use the things that seem like clues in the opposite way. You know, fear is not something that's trying to protect me. It's mm-hmm. something that's trying to imprison me.
Yes.
So I see fear and I go, okay, that is a manifestation of the condition system.
Yeah.
And it can be used as a signal to go on ahead.
So it's the change of behavior, isn't it? The change
exactly.
of behavior that will
yeah,
lead to
yeah,
the change
yeah,
of consciousness.
Yeah.
So the fear arises, the habit is to whatever, pull back or
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. and the change of behavior is just go. Just take that step.
Go, yeah.
And in that creates the change in consciousness, because as I do that, I realize, oh my God, that wasn't me. That wasn't at all going to protect me.
Yeah.
That's not who I am.
Yeah, exactly. And also that the fear is not only a signal that, you know, that yanking of the chain of conditioning, but it's also in the first year, I think what I saw especially is that it's also a signal that there are little people in there that have been abused in this system that are there to be embraced in those situations.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe take the step and then reach around and grab them and bring them along for the love.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. To pay attention to, I mean, what I hear you saying is, it's also not about just, you know, I'm stepping out and kind of leaving everyone behind me, but everyone's invited to come with me in this place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. To see that there are really it's not just ego or, you know, conditioning or self-hate or whatever we call that horrible thing that is in that experience of fear. There are the ones that have been subjected to it
mm-hmm.
over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Every
yeah.
time this person wants to take a step towards freedom,
mm-hmm.
that happens, and people who have been promised freedom inside there, and people who long for freedom and long for acceptance and love and all of that, get told no every time. You know, every time I choose the fear.
Yeah.
And so they're in that experience too.
Yeah. Yeah, because so if ego is terrified that you're gonna take a step free from it, then and it needs to control you and pull you back, it's
mm-hmm.
gonna attack the parts of you who are young enough and vulnerable enough to believe that.
Exactly. It's becoming less believable, and I'm making more of those choices that sometimes there isn't really, I'm making the choice fast enough that it's too late.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's too late, and then I look around and I go, oh my God, did I just say I would do that? You know? And then I have to deal with actually doing it,
uh-huh.
you know? But instead of, you know, allowing it to dig in and get some traction there,
yeah.
I just go and then realize, what am I going to do? And then, you know, then it gets done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have the experience of seeing through it over and over and over again.
Yeah. And it's just, like was just said in the previous share, it's just amazing how much tenacity is there. I mean, how much there is still belief in it,
mm-hmm.
and how much emotional and physical energy it gets
yeah.
when it comes up. Like, it's really, really true. It's really real.
Yeah.
And making choices in the other direction, like you say, help to kind of chip away at the believability
yeah.
of that, because, oh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, it moves the consciousness.
Yeah.
If we keep making that new choice,
yeah.
the consciousness has to shift.
Yeah.
It won't, it can't stay in that same deep level groove that it's always been in.
Right, and it reminds me of the chemical, neurological, neurochemical information that we get, that that a lot of it is so believable because we've made a path in our physiological structure that is what makes it seem so believable, because that's what the choice we made over and over. Making another choice is starting some new synapses or something, you know, some other new neurological things happening that can make a...
Yeah, and the other one withers and dies eventually.
Yeah.
Because it's not being traveled along.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's something about plastic. Plastic, your brain is, I don't know, there's a big word that's kind of like plastic. That they have discovered that, you know, they thought at first that the brain was really plastic and changeable only when you were young and it was, you know, in the place of growing. But they're discovering that it still is later. Not as much so, but still very much that you can... make new paths, and
we're seeing in practice all the time.
Yeah.
Alex. I was mostly responding to something that I heard in the shared forward share, but it's funny how we talk about that. Anyway, what's occurring to me is this thing about self-consciousness, and how it's funny that even the word self-conscious, not even the self being conscious, it's almost like the ego being conscious of me and making me think that it's me. It's just interesting.
Well, it's a wording. It's an insular kind of conscious only of the self, kind of.
Yeah. Well, and it's conscious of who it projects I am. You know, like not even, it has nothing to do with me, but it's kind of like thrown in like, hey, look at what you just did. Uh-huh. I was like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? And then assessing that, and then constantly being redirected in different ways based on the information that keeps coming in from this external source, of course. Didn't mean to rhyme. What I'm looking at is how to it's a tricky place, kind of like, so I'm going along doing whatever it is, and there's an idea about where I should get, or what I should be doing, or how I should be doing it. And
from conditioning.
Of course. And then that gets taken over, and then the next side of the duality is, well, don't do anything, again, by conditioning.
Okay, so you're going along doing something, and so it starts talking to you about how it should be going, and I'm guessing it's not going, or
whatever. It's like it needs to look a particular way, and if I can't be done, then I need to either try harder or find a way to do it, and that, at least that's the way it's filtered here. And there becomes a point where. The other side of the duality flips in, where it's just like, I don't want to do this anymore. And that's where the resistance starts coming in, and it starts to do the exact opposite of it, where it's just like, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it that way. I'm going to try to find a different way to exist within this circumstance.
I see. So no, I'm not going to try hard anymore.
I'm not going to try hard.
I'm just going to find some other way to be that will still allow me to exist in the same circumstance.
Exactly. Right. And it's funny because I really relate to the monastic structure being set up a particular way, because it's like, well, that it's the wall we talk about. It's like running up into a wall that doesn't support the karma, any of it. You know, either the giving up or the trying as hard as possible or any of it.
Right.
And how much of a gift that is, because... it does require us to go to that soft place, that place that's bigger than all of that, that has nothing to do with any of that, and it kind of throws that whole structure into relief, where...
Meaning, it's like, into it pops out of us,
pops
you
out.
Can really see it.
Yeah, I can see it. It's like, oh, there it is again. I'm going to go as hard as I can and, you know, do whatever it takes, and And then there's the other side where I just don't do whatever, you know. It's like, and I realize how both of them are so not it, and how it prevents, at least here, saying anything about it, because I'm supposed to be able to work this out. It's got to be worked out on one side or the other, you know. And so it, actually saying something like, so I'll just give an example. It's like, you need to do these 10 things at the same time. And it needs to be done by the end of the hour. Mm-hmm. That's how the system interprets it. Mm-hmm. And my job is to figure out how to do 10 things, mm-hmm. do those two things, 10 things by the end of the hour. Mm-hmm. And so this keeps happening. And mm-hmm. so like I'll either be successful and, you know, just be completely frazzled beyond belief, mm-hmm. you know, or I'll just whatever, and I'll just get two things done and just live with the self-hate of like, well, you didn't do those other eight or whatever. And it's like funny because within the system, I know when it gets thrown to the leaf, it never occurs to in here to say something like, I don't know if I'll get those 10 things done.
Just so you know,
would it be all right? Or, you know, which ones are the most important? Uh-huh. None of that. It actually even gets considered. It doesn't filter through. No, it doesn't filter through as option C. Uh-huh. You know, it's always one or the other. Uh-huh. And I think it's like the monastic structure of the wall or the greased pole or whatever like that, where these things happen often enough, and it's like the new insight about what's possible just occurs within there. Uh-huh. And it could be that there's a way to learn to do 10 things at the same time within the hour that I don't know about and I couldn't find out about.
Right.
And heck, that might be a way to go about doing it. How to live your life on frazzled doing 10 things in an hour.
Mm-hmm. Or it could be. That's not what anyone asked you really to do.
Exactly. Like, I could have missed the whole point. Uh-huh. It's like, well, these 10 things are, you know, be great, but, you know, if you only get, you know, one of the two, or that's fine too. And it's like it never goes there. And that's the whole point of when I'm just going along doing whatever. Because it's like I get to that place where it's just this softening, and it's like, you know, we're all gonna be gone, you know, at some point. And it's like at the end of it all, it's like
on December 3rd, things done in that hour.
Exactly. That just did not happen. And it's funny how those things just don't cross our... I mean, because what conditioning wants the whole thing to do is to constantly keep pointing back to how I'm measuring up or how things need to be different than the way they are, mm-hmm. how I need to be self-conscious about mm-hmm. what it is that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say allows you to suddenly see option C?
Option C.
What is that?
Well, it's funny. There were several circumstances. Well, I think having enough experience with it, because I think the kindness of the environment mm-hmm. sets it up so that I can see that no one said anything. Mm-hmm. You know, there was no information that was provided mm-hmm. that said these 10 things need mm-hmm. to be done, and, you know, mm-hmm. blah blah blah, and I keep having my experience of both of them. Mm-hmm. And I think ping-ponging back and forth between them in a kind environment allows me to see that it's not working. And something's not working. It's like the content. Mm-hmm. If I were out there mm-hmm. in the whatever world, maybe there's a way to rearrange content in mm-hmm. such a way that I can constantly
quit
not...
Quit that job and go to another job. Quit
that job, right. I'll just go to a place where I'm not asked to do 10 things an hour. And so, just to get, of course, there will be a version of that will show up, mm-hmm. of course.
But not in the first 6 months.
Not in the first 6 months. And it might not be even something that will be recognizably the same content. Yeah. It will be mm-hmm. something else that is just
from. So, in those, so you bounce back and forth on those two sides of the duality, and neither one is supported.
Exactly.
And so, eventually, we could say, suffer enough of it.
Suffer enough and have an insight about what, I guess, I don't know how option C pops in. Mm-hmm. I think it's popped in several times. I think that there was a conscious ignoring of it Like, that's not an okay option, you know, because a real person, you know, that's really trying is going to try to figure it out on their own. I mean, that's the conditioning that I don't know with anybody else, but it seems like we were, you know, at a particular point, you know, you should be over this by now, or you should learn how to do that. I can't believe you can't know where a comma goes in a sentence, or, you know, very, just over and over again, and just trying to figure out how to make it. And then there's just like, I don't want to play this game anymore, in the bigger sense. Like, I don't want to play the conditioned game anymore. Yeah.
And really, what's there to lose?
Right.
Right? So I ask a question.
Yeah, exactly.
Great.
Right, risking being killed. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what it actually literally gets translated into by conditioning, of course. Mm-hmm. That if I say this, I will risk what?
Yeah.
Something worse than death. Will actually sympathize with me and give me the answer, or
and that
help me
process
out.
Of being able to be in the place where you can make that choice is freedom. That's practicing freedom. Because, you know, just like people have been talking about all morning, so you're supposed to stay in that ping pong match, because that's where it has your life. Mm-hmm. And you get to a place where you don't know it's taking a step. You don't know what's going to happen. I mean, this is new. It says threatening death, whatever. But I'm willing to take that risk.
Right.
I'm no longer willing to give my life
to
that
this,
process.
This whole process, yes. The other thing that helps the option C is seeing this, having other people share their traps.
Yeah.
You know, what they're getting duped into.
Mm-hmm.
I just had an experience, and it's not just with Sambe, it's just watching people. You know, I was out there with my family, mm-hmm. and I saw what was operating. You know, like, I didn't have to say anything, and all of a sudden these immense conclusions were reached, you know, about what it is that my action meant, and you know, and it just spanned, you know, a year, an entire year of, like, a story that was completely fabricated, you know, about what it meant that I didn't or I did something. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty intense. How do you work with that, you know? Because, like, how do you, anyway?
Well, and what I hear you saying is following the projection back and seeing, wow, that happens for me internally.
Exactly.
Why
not see my options? Yes, exactly. That's the real point.
Yeah.
It's like not me working out whatever can help them see it, because really, you know, there is a way to do that. I need to do the work.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah. The discussions about parent-child roles is really kind of bringing about what I noticed earlier this week. I remembered this book that I had read back when I was a teenager, The Key, and I couldn't find it anywhere, so I went online and I realized that was Sherry's book. I realized when I went over right away to that monastery back when I was a teenager, that was hers. And
that's funny.
It kind of all came into perspective of, oh, this has been a long, winding path, but I made it here. And what stopped me from going any further when I was younger was this sense of duty to my mother.
Mm-hmm.
She did everything for me, and I had to, you know, make something of myself and be able to take care of her. And
mm-hmm.
she was an older woman, and I couldn't devote my life to contemplation and service, because that would, I wouldn't be able to take care of her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that kept me for many years from not going that route. And now I'm dealing with my daughters,
mm-hmm.
you know, trying to put that kind of conditioning on me. You're not going to be here for me on Sunday morning. What do you mean? What if I get hungry? Or you won't be here to take care of me?
Mm-hmm.
And I just have to say, you're 11, you can make a bowl of cereal. And I'll see you, you know, when I get home.
Yeah.
So dealing with those, it is the duality of the child role and then the parent role. But from both ends of that, I've kind of struggled with, how do I find how do I balance those
with
the choices that I'm making now?
Yeah, to realize that you need to be part of that equation.
Yeah.
Not just mom or not just daughters, but you know, what do you need? And it sounds like you're starting to have some success with putting yourself in the equation, like choosing to come here on Sunday morning.
Yeah. I can at least do that. It doesn't have to be an all or nothing. I don't have to be a monk.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
To practice.
Which is how conditioning would want to make it be, wouldn't it? The minute you see that possibility, oh, you know what? I haven't been doing things for myself. I need to become a monk. It goes from nothing to everything.
Yeah.
Which is just, again, leading us to that, you know, automatic failure. But to realize, oh, have that awareness of, I'd like to include myself in the equation. What could I do right now? What thing would work in the way my life is right now? Well, I could go to the monastery on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that I'm not going to beat myself up about that, and that it's going to be okay.
And that, you know, even in your language is interesting. You know, you said you're not going to beat yourself up, and to realize it never was beating you up, right? It's self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
Beating you for, again, from what everyone's been talking about this morning, because it doesn't want you to start to make choices that take care of you, because then you're going to be free of it as you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it beats you in an attempt to have you follow it around to try to avoid the beating, which of course never works.
Yeah.
Right?
It finds you.
It finds you. Yeah. And that's, you know, that it finds you, that's a critical awareness. That's a huge turning point, at least I know it was for me in practice, to realize there isn't anything I can do to stop that beating.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, that itself is very freeing, because to realize that beating is going to happen no matter what. So I might as well start making choices that really take care of me and move me in the direction that I want to go in. And is the self-hate going to ramp up? Yeah, in many cases it does. Because the more we begin to be able to make those choices, the more it gets freaked out. And so the more it tries to throw things at us to, you know, get us to stop, the more we reach for support and practice and to realize, okay, yes, that feels real, but like Cameron was talking about, it's not, you know, it's not real, even though everything in me feels like it's not true. You know, I keep practicing. And,
yeah, we can choose how we react to that beating. We don't have to absolutely everything it says.
Yeah, and in fact, building the skill of having all of that go on while I'm just aware of it and not believing it is, I mean, that's huge. That's huge. That's a real, that's a freedom. Yeah. Thank you.
The skill of having all of that go on and not getting caught in it failed me. Did you say it would have failed me recently?
I say,
I don't know if that's a very skillful way of saying that, but let's see. I played golf yesterday, and I'll just go with the content here, and I played with a woman, of course, there were two women who give women a bad name. They talk constantly about whatever crosses their mind. And it gets particularly bad when they start talking to each other, because what I project is happening is they cannot let the other one have the last word. They're not aware of this at all.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot let the other one's point be more important than theirs. They're not arguing.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds all very pleasant. Albeit non-stop. I know this about both of them. One time in the past, I played with the two of them in the same person. And and I don't remember the upshot. Yesterday, I was playing with it right up until I wasn't. And what happens internally, or what, and it's not just about two women talking. I don't guess I should, I mean, definitely need to say women, but people mm-hmm. who are doing that. I'm projecting mm-hmm. that what I'm hearing is, mm-hmm. and here's what they're like. Here's what their internal life is, that they are who they are. Mm-hmm. And I am projecting that for at least 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And this karma, this nine karma mm-hmm. that is other-oriented, mm-hmm. gets trapped in it. It's trapped in that place that is being projected. Mm. I become who I am projecting. Mm. This I becomes who it has been projecting mm. for and rejecting mm-hmm. for quite a while. Mm. Why did I start that sentence? Anyway, I become that gets internalized and it's an identity. I become identified uh-huh. as who I project they are.
Okay.
And I don't notice it. I can't see that that's what's happening. Uh-huh. And
so you're saying literally you take on that behavior?
I literally, not the behavior, uh-huh. the internal life.
Okay. So you're, for 2 hours, you're projecting what they must be like, what must be going on inside for them.
Right. And it's not nice. It's not pretty. It's I hope, I pray my projections are false because otherwise it would be awful. Uh-huh.
So you project all this, whatever, that they're in a ton of self-hate or blah, 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 blah.
Yes, that just, I could put all kinds of adjectives to it. What I'm seeing this morning about the whole, so I spent a whole yesterday, mm-hmm. literally 3/4 of the night and most of this morning mm-hmm. in that place. Mm-hmm. And kind of in despair mm-hmm. about it. Not able to keep the attention here. Mm-hmm. Just gone. Just every minute or two, just off somewhere. Mm-hmm. That awesome mm-hmm. I mean, really, somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's just gone. Mm-hmm. And so the conversations this morning have helped with some perspective mm-hmm. and softening, mm-hmm. Acceptance. Mm-hmm. Helping me see that it's not a problem to fix, that it's not wrong. Mm-hmm. Also helping me see that choosing the choices I make mm-hmm. to spend time mm-hmm. doing that, mm-hmm. there's karma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is. Mm-hmm. And so what it wants to say is, well, don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Which I hope is not the answer.
Well, and it's interesting that it would say that, isn't it? I mean, that's a clue for us that it's not coming from the place that, you know, so seeing that there's karma in it, great, okay. There's just seeing that there's karma in it. It wants to immediately do something about that.
Yeah. Yes, and as was said earlier, if it doesn't happen there, if, say, the decision was made not to play off, mm-hmm. certainly not with very careful choosing, that wouldn't happen anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It would just shift to another scenario.
Yeah.
Another place, content. Process would keep going.
Yeah. I'm curious if you recorded at all during that going on.
Oh gosh, no. Recording anything. I've been self-identified.
Yeah.
Could not sleep. Brain, talk about brain. Wishing brain could do something that it wasn't doing.
Oh.
Lord, I could barely. Well, this might not sound like such a bad thing, but it wasn't a positive experience. But I couldn't string two thoughts together into any kind of coherence.
Yeah.
And nothing was making sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a fact, years ago when I was in college, studied psychology for a while, and there was a disorder called, I think it was hemiplegia, and it's people who talk, and if you weren't listening to what they were saying, mm-hmm. you would think they were making sense, and they're making absolutely no sense. And that's what my brain was doing. And it was on the one hand I was observing, on the other hand I was quite disturbed by it.
Uh-huh.
What if that really stuck in this place?
Uh-huh. Yeah, and then this morning as you listened to the conversation, you said you got some perspective and that there's been some softening around it and realizing it's not a problem. That doesn't need to be a problem that you need to fix.
Not in that egocentric, there's something wrong, you need to fix it away. Mm-hmm. Certainly, recording would be good. Remaining aware of that when I get thrown together over 4 or 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
With people up upon the mind projecting.
Yeah.
That the accuracy of my projections is not the point.
Yeah.
It's remaining aware that the karma of this person is to identify the way I'm projecting.
Yeah. Yeah, and in that way, you know, so if you realize, okay, this is a karma that this being has, and it's going to get triggered somewhere, might as well be here, especially if this is an activity I want to do, then it truly can become a workshop.
Yeah.
And you can even structure it as such.
Yeah.
So I want to have that workshop. So on Saturday, the of
December. I'm going to invite these two
women to Yeah, exactly. And then write it out. What, you know, just as if you were going to facilitate the workshop. What are going to be the, what's the guided imagery we're going to do on the way to the golf course? Okay, good. And then then we're going to set the watch every 30 minutes. And it's going to beep, and they won't have any idea. You know, it's just, I was crazy with my watch today. I don't know why it keeps going. But every 5 minutes, right. You know, just stuff like that. And just make it into a workshop. And, you know, you duck into the restroom and record or whatever it is. I mean, and in a way, we can even have that attitude of mind coming out of that storm in a sense, wow, you know, that's impressive. You know, that's impressive. And as you say, you know, recording, whatever about it you can still see, the residue of that, recording that, you get to see that, you know, setting up the next workshop. It really puts us back, you know, takes us out of that victim position of it, doesn't it? That puts us in a place of
that's what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And there's for some reason a lot of shame.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. So
yeah, and it's funny, isn't it? Because we're here to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that in suffering. And so for conditioning to put us in a position of feeling shame when we suffer would be a big coup for that. But we're not trying to avoid. Sorry?
I never thought about that. That would be a real good one to manage. Talk about a game you cannot win.
Exactly.
That you must play, but you cannot win.
That's right. Change up the rules. Thank you. That's all fine. Thank you all.